Okay. Thank you, Professor Dowson, and everyone for coming. For those of you who don't know, Professor Rabbi Dowson graduated Brooklyn College. He received his master's and PhD from NYU. His PhD is in number theory. He received smicha from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's been teaching since 1979, and mostly in Stern. His last publication was in Pearls in Number Theory, Chapter 2. We're very happy to have him. Thank you.
Okay, first I'd like to discuss how to expose you, in case some of you don't know, the Pythagorean theorem. I'm sure most of you anticipated, and I brought some markers, an eraser. Okay. I assume everybody has seen it, but we'll look at the proof anyway. Okay. Should have made a video. This is the right triangle. Okay, let's label the sides. Let's say A, B, C. Okay, and we are doing the Pythagorean theorem. And the theorem says that if you have a right triangle like that, then the square of the hypotenuse is the sum of the squares of the two sides. So everybody knows that. Does anybody know how to prove it? Anybody?
Cosine and cosine?
That's too easy. Okay. I mean, you could use... Now the talk officially begins now. Okay, let me prove it. This is the proof that's used in high school. Let's just explain. I'm sure you know the Pythagorean theorem. I didn't really do anything yet. I'm about to prove it. Just set it down. What you do is you draw the height here. First of all, let's label all the vertices. Usually, the tradition is to use the same letters for vertices and for sides, but use capital letters. So this is A, this is B, and this is C. So ABC is the right triangle, where the right angle is at C. We drop the perpendicular for the height. Let's suppose the point of intersection is H. And let's break up C into two sections. C sub 1, which goes from A to H, and C sub 2, which goes from H to B. So that C is equal to C sub 1 plus C sub 2. Now, let's look at the following two triangles. The big triangle, ABC, and first the small triangle, ACH. And we notice that they're similar. Everybody remember what similar triangles are? They have the same angles. And as a consequence, their sides are proportional. Let's write it down very carefully. So let's write down ABC and now underneath we want to write down ACH, but making sure that the vertices or the angles are corresponding. So the right one is H, that corresponds to C. This angle A is the same for both triangles, so here, and the B angle here corresponds to the C angle in here, ACH. Okay? Right, everybody sees that? This triangle, the big triangle ABC and ACH are similar and the sides are proportional. Now, what is relevant for us is the following. We'd like to write down one of the proportions. The size AC over AH. It's very easy. If it's written this way, then you don't even have to look at the picture. You'll say AC over AH is equal to, what's the other one I want? AB over AC. Right, you could look at the picture, but it's easy to look here. Actually, I should have done this one first. AB over AC is equal to AC over H. Okay, writing what they're equal to, let's see. AC is what we call C1. AH is what, I'm sorry, got it wrong. AC is what we call is B. Sorry about that. AC is B. AH is C1. AB is, what is AB? AB is C. And AC is B. Cross multiply, we get B squared is equal to C, C1.
Did I lose anybody? Not yet? Good.
And now we do the same thing for the two triangles. Let's change color. For the two, again, the same triangle ABC, but the second triangle now CHB. Again, let's write down so that the corresponding angles are one under the other. So we have ABC on top. And now we are looking at the second triangle, CHB. Okay, B is the same angle. The right angle is now, and the bottom triangle is H, corresponding to C. And the remaining, the C, is the C from the small triangle corresponds to the, the C from the small triangle corresponds to the A from the big triangle. Okay? Now, again, we know that the sides are proportional. We could just look at that. We don't have to look at the picture anymore. And we'll write CBC over BH is equal to BC over BH is equal to AB over CB. Okay, again, let's see. AB over CB is equal to BC over BH. Oops, I made a mistake. I meant BH. Okay, let's translate that. BC is, where are we? BC is A. BH is C2. Equals AB is, AB is C, and CB is A. When we cross multiply, we get A squared is equal to C2. Everybody with me? Now add up these two results. We have A squared plus B squared is equal to, this one comes first, CC2 plus CC1, which is the same thing as CC2 plus C1, which is the same thing as C squared. And this is the proof, the high school proof of the Pythagorean theorem. That's probably the way Pythagoras proved it, even though, first of all, it was probably known before him, but he's famous, he made it famous. The reason, because everything we have used, the idea of single triangle, that was known actually to even before him. His main teacher, Pythagoras, was a guy named Thales. Now, when I went to high school, we used to learn Thales' theorem, and many of the kids in class insisted that I was descended from him because of the name. Now, what is, and he's the one who started with similar triangles, so it's very likely Pythagoras, being his students, knew about similar triangles and probably had the same proof that we just reproduced. Okay, now what is the Jewish connection? I was supposed to put to find a Jewish connection here. Pythagoras spite of what some of you are excited, Pythagoras was not Jewish, so one thing to help. He lived in about 500 before the Common Era, and there weren't too many Jewish mathematicians in those days, or at least if they were, they were not so famous. He traveled all over the place, he may have met Jews. He was born in Asia Minor, but he studied a lot in Egypt, and eventually he founded a school in Italy, in southern Italy. I'm not going to mention the story about his students who divulged that theorem. There were Jewish mathematicians later on, by the way, in the Middle Ages. Not a famous mathematician, most famous one probably is the Ralbag, which I think everybody heard about. Quite a famous mathematician. Other mathematician not so famous is the Mizrahi, the one who wrote the Perush on Rashi. And that's basically it. We will look at Rishonim in a second. In general, of course, the Spanish and Italian Rishonim were knowledgeable on secular knowledge, and of course some of them may have known some mathematics. Which brings us to the following. Let's examine, let's look at that. I assume everybody knows how to read Hebrew. Anybody knows Gemara, by the way? Nobody? Oh. Okay, so you want to?
No.
Okay, so we'll let you. Did everybody get a copy? Okay, why don't you start with the underline a bit more? Kol? Kol Amser?
Kol.
Kol Amser?
I'm
an Ashkenaz. Amter Amser? Every
Amr.
Beribua, in a square. In other words, every square whose side is one Amr. Go ahead. Amser betrei chumshe. Be'al-Kasona. In its diagonal, it will be 1 2/5. That's it for now. Let's see what the Gemara is saying. Okay, I'm going to raise a beautiful proof.
We could turn the board around.
It doesn't matter. It's not the homework on it. Maybe on the final. Well, it says, if you have a square, which is one armor, whatever that is, one cubit, that's a square. Every side is one unit. Then the diagonal, it was telling us, the diagonal will be, oops, that's the diagonal, by the way, will be, what does the word say, what did you just read? 1 2/5. Okay, so if this is 1 and this is 1, this is 1 2/5. Of course, 1 2/5 we would write maybe as 1.4 or maybe as 7/5. What would we say to this result? Well, what would we say, well, since we know the Pythagorean theorem? If this is 1 and this is 1, what's the diagonal?
Square.
Square 2. In other words, the square. Pythagorean theorem tells us if this is 1, this is 1. Then the square is, well, that's like that. This is A, and this is B, and this is C. So it tells us that C square is equal to A square plus B square, we just saw. If A is 1 and B is 1, then 1 square plus 1 square is 1. And of course, 1 plus 1 is?
2.
At least everybody is awake. So C square would be 2. How do we check what is the, so C being the diagonal? How do we check if it's true or not? And the Gemara is saying, well, take 1.4 and square it. And you'll see you don't get exactly 2. Right? Or better, it's easier if you don't have to square 1.4. Square 7/5, and you get 49, not a square a fraction. You get 49 25th, and that's a bit less than 2. 2 would be 50 25th. Look at Tosfos.
Who knows Gemara? Do you know Tesfos also?
A little.
Okay, here's your chance. Look at those, the bottom Tesfos, Kol.
Where?
Kol, the last, I mean the last one that's visible. That's the repetition of the that's the repetition of what the Gemara says. It's not exact. The count is not exact. The result is not exact. Velo dak. And he wasn't careful. Whoever wrote it, the Gemara was not careful. It was not exact. There is a little bit more. In other words, the number is too small. 1.4 is too small. It should be a little bit more. Now he's going to prove it for us.
She'im
ta'aseh ribua. Shel eser al eser. If you construct, let's follow what this is telling us to do. There's a picture, but we'll do it on the board anyway. If you construct a square, then.
Are these pictures actually in the Gemara?
Yeah.
They drew it?
Yeah, in the Vilna Shas, yes. This is a picture, this is an actual picture of the daf.
The publisher did it.
No, not by, I mean, it's not, 200 years ago when they published the Vilna Shas, that's they put that picture.
Did the Amoraim, though, try it in when they said it?
Well, first of all, it's not Amoraim, it's Tosfos.
It
probably was. I mean, usually the printer copied from manuscripts. So I assume it was. I'm not sure if it's the original manuscript or a later manuscript, but usually the printer didn't make up. So I wouldn't make up the whole thing. Okay, now this is going to be, I don't know if I should do it. Anyway, you can see the picture, it's 10 by 10. It'd be a problem. Can we use it? Oh, I went too far. Okay. Okay, now we do the same thing here. Okay, here's a nice, it's supposed to be a square. Maybe the picture on the one is nicer than mine. Mm-hmm. Okay, hi. Okay, so again, let's keep on reading. So you're drawing a square 10 by 10, and you divide it horizontally and vertically in the middle. Okay, like that. That's the middle. In other words, you divide it into four smaller cubes, smaller squares. Okay, Shesi Ve'erev. Nimtza, it comes out, Betocho Arba. Keep on going.
Arba Ribuim.
You have four squares, smaller squares.
Shel Chamisha
Al Chamisha. Shel Chamisha Al Chamisha, five by five.
What is it?
I don't even know what that word is. Chazor, go back, ve'alok, ve'chalok, and break up.
Ribuim la'alchsonim.
The four little squares with the diagonal, you can see the picture. What color did I use? Red. With a diagonal like that, four diagonals on each. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, now that's supposed to be a square. The red one is also supposed to be a square. Let's prove that, because after all, if this is diagonal, then this is 45, right? And the same reason is 45, so if this is, of course, 180, so if 45 plus 45 is 90, so this has to be 90. And the same reasoning for the place. So I'm sorry, but some of you are used to it. I'm not the best. Okay, so anyway, so the middle red one is also a square. Okay, where is it? Nimsad, where are we up to? That goes from the edges of the big square. Timsa, you'll find.
Timsa.
Beriba, in the inner red square.
Well, it's the same size. No, it's not. Okay, sorry.
Chamishimama, the square will be, they mean square amas. It will be 50 square, assuming that each one is one amma, that is. So the middle one would be 50 square amas. Why is that? Doesn't explain. So let's figure out. Why is that 50? Why is the middle of 50?
It was, what?
Why is the red one 50 amas? 50 square amas.
Well, it's half of the big one.
It's half of the big one, right. The big one is 100 amas. 100 square amas. The big one is 100 square amas. And how do you obtain the middle one, the red one? You just divide this by 2, divide this by 2, divide this by 2, this by 2. So it's just half of the big one, which is 50. Okay, keep on going. So the square, the area would be 50 square amas. Chamishem amas.
Amas.
Sharei, oh, he explains why, I'm sorry.
Sharei hu chitzio
shel chitzon. It's just half of the middle, of the outer one. Sharei chilkat haribuim
shel hei
ad hei
kol
echad. Sharei, even he goes out of his way to explain why it's the middle one, okay? Sharei chilkat haribuim shel hei al hei kol echad la'asanyo, because when you, la'al-kesanyo, when you divide each one with a diagonal, then basically you're breaking up each quarter into two. That's what we just mentioned. Vim lo yo now, vim lo yo bo eile lefi cheshbon amse vetrei chumshe. And according to what the Gemara told us, that the diagonal here is what? What did we say? The diagonal is 1 2/5 of the side. But now if the side is 5. Then the diagonal would be
2.5.
What's 1 2/5 of 5? Come on.
That's
1 2/5 of 5.
7.
It's 7. 2/5 of 5 is 2. And 1 is 5. No?
Yeah.
Right? 1 2/5 of 5 is 7. So according to what it was saying, that the diagonal is 1 2/5, if this is 5 by 5, then the red diagonal would be 7. So the side of the square would be 7. Keep on going. Okay, let's repeat. And according to the cheshbon, which we said that the diagonal is 1 2/5, Vayna Zayna, he explained, he actually says it, Vayna Zayna Zayn, so that would come out 7 by 7, the inner one would be 7 by 7. Nimsa, it comes out. Then bo, oh, he doesn't explain why. It comes out that what is the area of the red one?
49.
7 times 7 is 49. So the ein bo chatzav shel chitzon shel chitzon. That will, oh, he does explain it. I'm sorry. It will not be half of the big one because we said it should be 50. And then he actually explained why it's 41, I believe. Why? The ribua, because the square shel shiva al shiva ain't bo eile abuim v'tesha. It does actually, it does explain everything. Because the square of 7 is 49, which is not 50. 49 little squares. Shel amal amal of cubic square amas. Veroy liyo is chumshim, and we expect to find 50. The ruchah, why are they? I explain why we expect to find 50. The ruchutzav is because it's chutzav, because it's half shel asura al asura, because it's half of the big one, which is 10 by 10. Again, it repeats itself, like me. The oil may rutsur because the big one is 100, 10 by 10 is 100. Shalam ala 100 square amas.
Okay, Sylvia, Tosfos is explaining to us that what the Gemara is saying is not really accurate, but it's only an approximation, it's a little bit less than the exact value. This is only 1.4. The Gemara says it's 1.4, but if this was 1.4, that would not work. Okay, let's examine. Did Tosfos know the Pythagorean theorem based on the reasoning? And it would seem that now, first of all, if they knew it, it would be an easy way of disproving it, much easier than what we, just like we did it before. Again, what we said is c squared is 2, but this is not 2. When you square this, either 1.4 or 7/5, you do not get 2. Therefore, we would see right away, using the Pythagorean theorem, we would see right away that this is not so. So apparently they did not know the Pythagorean theorem, and it's not that surprising. As I mentioned briefly, actually I mentioned the other side, that the Ashkenazic Tosfos who lived in France and Germany, and they didn't have secular knowledge. Most of them were tradespeople. Rashi, as we know, was a wine merchant. Rabin Tam was a moneylender, and they didn't, unlike the Spanish one, who had secular education. The Ashkenazi one from Germany and France did not have secular education. Of course, the Spaniards, we know that the Rambam was a doctor, the Ramban was a doctor, I mentioned before, the Radbag was a mathematician, etc. So they didn't know, even though they didn't know the Pythagorean theorem, they were able to prove that the norm in the Gemara is not exact. Now, what we'd like to examine is, could they have discovered the Pythagorean theorem using this reasoning? Okay, first of all, of course, they could have proven a special case. They did prove a special case of the Pythagorean theorem. They are saying, in effect, that if the two sides are equal, then this is not... In fact, they are saying, okay, let's look at this picture. Let's look at this picture, actually. They are saying, if this is 1, let's change it to 5. If this is 1 and this is 1, okay, let's write it out. Suppose this is 2. So half of it is 1 and 1, 1 and 1, etc., etc. Okay, so if this is 2, and of course it's a square, this is 2, instead of being 10. So the total area is... So the right one is, I'm pretending it's a square, is half of it, which is 2. So then this is square root of 2. So basically we just proved the Pythagorean theorem in the case, special case, where the two sides are the same. Right? Everybody sees that? Mm-hmm. So basically they proved the Pythagorean theorem, but only in a very special case, where I should have raised the previous picture, where the A and the B are the same. If the A and B, again, if A and B are the same, we could take 1, but I could have taken any number. Maybe. Should I write A instead of... Suppose this is A, this is A, this is A, this is 2A, this is 2A. Okay? So the total would be 2A times 2A, which is 4A squared. The middle one would be
2A.
2A squared. And the side would be, that's the area of the middle one, the side would be square root of 2a. A square root of 2. Okay? Well, in other words, actually, I don't even need this. I'm sorry. What they are proving is the following, that this is a square. In other words, that a square plus a square, this square plus this square is equal to this is 2a square. In other words, this side square plus... it looks obvious the way I see it. A square plus a square is equal to 2a, to this, which is 2a square. So this is a very special case of the Pythagorean theorem. Could we expand this proof to prove the general Pythagorean theorem when the two sides are not the same? And the answer is yes, otherwise I would be asking the question. So I have to erase that again, the beautiful picture. And I'll give you a similar picture where the sides are not the same. Okay, so I'm going to erase everything. And our goal is to do a similar picture that proves the
Pythagorean theorem in his jail form, to show that the Tosfos could have known the Pythagorean theorem after they drew that picture. Now, it's a little bit different. Maybe they didn't think of it. I don't know. Okay, so we do the following. Let's be careful. This is our prior Earth. That's not A. We call it, I think it's smaller. That's A. That's B. Now we're going to draw the same picture. That's A again. That's B. That's A. That's B. And finally, that's A. That's B. Okay, so let's look at this picture. Okay, let's see what we got. We got a big square whose sides are A plus B. And now within each square, on the edges, we have four right triangles whose sides are A and B. Somewhat similar to the picture we had before, but not exactly, because this time the A and B are not equal. Okay, let's show that this is still a right angle. Why is that a right angle? Because after all, these two angles are complementary. Right, complementary means the sum is 90. Because this is the right triangle. Okay, and of course, this is the same right triangle. So this angle is the same as this angle. Let's call it 1. It's the same as this angle. So these two are complementary. They add up to 90. So if these two add up to 90, so this one is 90, it's the right angle. And the same reasoning works for all of them. So the middle one is a square. Let's call the side C. Okay. Now, let's do a little bit of area. The area of the outer one is A plus B square. Maybe I should have done the middle one in red to be consistent, but okay. Right? The outer one is A plus B square. Now, the outer one is equal to the inner one, C square, plus the 4 on the sides. Now, everybody, I assume, including Tosfos, knew how to find the area of a right triangle. What is the area of a right triangle? Right. The sum, the product of the two sides over 2. How do I know that Tosfos knew how to do that? Well, because they knew how to find the area of a rectangle. Because they did the boxes. And what's the relationship between the rectangle and the right triangle like that? It's just half of it. So that's why the formula is half. I don't have to draw a picture, I assume. Anyway, you know the formula, even if Tosfos didn't know. But Tosfos apparently must have known it. If they knew how to find the area of a rectangle, they knew how to find the area of a right triangle. So the area of each triangle is one half AB. We have 4 of them. So plus 4 times 1/2 AB. Right? Now, we not expand that. A squared plus 2AB. We have a formula, B squared. If Tosfos didn't have the formula, I'm sure they knew how to multiply the long way. A plus B times A plus B. Equals C squared plus, and this is, of course, 2AB. If you cross out the 2AB, what do you get? A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So Tosfos could have come out with the wrong proof of the Pythagorean theorem. Okay, so that's a Jewish connection to the Pythagorean theorem.
That was really cool.
What was the context that we learned?
The size of the sukkah.